It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Yeah, Seth even said, you know, actually, this is going to sound silly, and I don't know if I've talked about this before. So, for those of you just joining us, that's everybody, because we were talking off the air. Hot Ones.
Yeah, we watch those sometimes.
Those, I mean, they're funny, but they, I mean, through there's a combination of factors that gets people to elicit some sometimes very interesting and honest answers. Some of it is the distraction of the hot wings, but some of it is he really does his research. Almost every episode I ever watched has had a point where he has asked a question and the person has been like, wow, that is a deep cut. How did you find that out?
He asks good questions.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're not the normal stuff you hear people
And he's ask, improving. Like I recently watched, I've watched a few recent ones, and I recently, for some reason, watched a much older one. He is getting better at what he does. Okay. Yeah, there's a show, it's called Hot Ones. It's on a channel called First We Feast, and I don't watch any of the other stuff on the channel. But there's a show called Hot Ones, and they get celebrities on there, and they have to eat 10 chicken wings, or in some cases, vegan, fake chicken wings, that have each been dressed in consecutively hotter hot sauces. And so it starts at, like, sriracha, and it ends at these, like, really crazy hot sauces. And then at each wing, he asks the celebrity a question, and they have a little conversation, and then they eat another one. And if they can make it through all of the wings, they get 30 seconds to plug whatever they're there for. And not everybody makes it, but most of them do. But I've never seen anybody not have a hard time by the end.
Yeah, the questions are actually interesting. I'm not a big fan of watching people eat hot things, but the questions are good. The questions you won't hear anyone else ask.
I like a lot of them because sometimes they can be very funny how they choose to respond. I recently watched old one that was Key and Peele, and that was much shorter because they just split it between them, so it was really just five wings. But by like, well, first of all, by like the second one, they're like, whoa, and then he's like, yeah, this is just the second of five, and they're like, and they get worse. He's like, yeah, they get worse. And by wing four, I believe Keegan-Michael Key said, hey Sean, and he said, yeah, he's like, you go to hell. Somebody else I think just started swearing. Terry Crews just pauses for a second, takes a deep breath, and just screams. Like, for, like, two full breaths. He sounds like back when he did the Old Spice commercials. And he would just, like, yell. It was just that. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world where you can get the evil universe and still sometimes you catch them in a good mood talking about YouTube shows. I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William.
And this is Evil Episode.
Yep.
Which
I heard some people don't like.
Yeah.
I heard that.
I mean, I get it. What confuses me is not why they wouldn't like this, but why they would like the other one.
Yeah.
Some people might get tired of the shtick.
The shtick.
Which I'm like, we don't push the shtick as hard as we used to, so... I don't know.
It's a roller coaster.
I kind of don't want to follow up with the people who have said that, because I'm like, how does this play out if they tell me what they don't like? Because they didn't say, like, if they say worst case scenario, I feel bad.
Yeah.
And best case scenario, I have an argument for why they might be wrong. Like, I mean, if there's one thing you can say about this podcast, not just the evil episodes but all of it, it's a real acquired taste.
Yeah, that's
like,
sure.
If you like the podcast, cool, thanks. And if you don't, that makes sense.
Sure.
I mean, And I'm not saying people that do are insane or anything like that. I'm just like, all right, yep. That's, you know.
To each but, their own.
But it does not ever surprise me if somebody doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Although nobody's ever willing to tell me that. They just very quietly stop listening. But I know. I can tell. Stop fucking around. For those of you just joining us, but that makes you feel really good, doesn't it? let me explain how this is. There is a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And folks, those special folks that have that acquired taste, write into that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. A couple of losers draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. They're bored. Not we. Them. they do that for about an hour, and that's their show, except most of it's usually not that. And then when they can't make it, the multiverse conspires to make us do it.
Yep.
And we are basically them, but evil. We have goatees.
Maybe the hat knows that people won't like it, and that's the point. It's trying to torture people's...
Oh, I thought this was an elaborate... The hat's trying to commit podcast suicide.
Oh.
It's like we start with... That that doesn't feel right. I feel like if that was going to happen, it would have happened from his original host picking. Its original... Can't believe I just gendered the hat.
You just gendered the hat.
It's Evil Universe. That kind of makes sense. Besides, with the hat's upper body strength and spatial orientation, it's clearly a male hat.
So good at math.
Yes. No, that was a classic bit in 30 Rock. So Alec Baldwin's character ends up getting Elizabeth Banks' character pregnant.
Mm.
And she's also very conservative like him, and they share a lot of values. And at one point, she calls him. They found out they're going to have a boy. And then she calls him, and she's like, the doctor screwed up. We're having a stupid girl. It's like, what? It's like, yeah, I'm already worrying about her upper body strength and spatial orientation. This is a disaster. They also end up accidentally giving birth in Canada, and they get really pissed off because they won't let him pay for it.
Mm.
They're like, oh, no, it's all free. He's like, hell no, you're going to take our American money. There's a lot of concern that the kid's Canadian because of it.
I've seen every 30 Rock episode, and I don't remember this.
Really?
Maybe I missed that one.
Wow. That was like several episodes in a row.
Hmm.
She eventually gets kidnapped in North Korea.
I remember that.
Yeah. She got pregnant. They had a baby, and then she kind of left the show, and he was stuck with the baby, who was named Liddy after G. Gordon Liddy.
I remember that, too. I remember that bit. Well, but I don't remember her the kid being born in Canada.
Yeah. I always remember it particularly because he comes to terms with it because he ends up having a conversation at a border gas station with a guy who it turns out is making meth out of the back of it. And they have this heart-to-heart, but at one point he's like, oh, I'm being rude. I'm sorry, would you like some meth? And I remember this because it's played by John Cho, which is just weird. Oh! There was something to talk about back in the positive universe.
That now you can't talk about?
It's not super time-sensitive. It can probably wait till the next time those losers get together.
Okay.
But... later, help me remember to help him remember to...
I'm really good at remembering things.
Can you remember till the end of this episode when we can talk about it off the air and then not harm the whole mystique?
I know, but you're asking me to remember. Nobody asks me to remember things. I mean, you asked me to remember the number of the podcast, and I can never remember.
No, that other guy asked that other guy to remember. You're evil. Evil has much better memory.
That's true. But that's not saying very much.
There's a thing. I don't know if you have this thing. When I start new things now, like to learn a new thing or a new skill or a new subject matter.
Yeah.
I am concerned because, and it may be my imagination, but it won't always be my imagination. I don't know. It's harder now because I'm older.
Mm.
My memory's not as good. My reflexes aren't as good. And that's messed up. Like, that's never been a thing before. But, like, oh, yeah, because of the decay rate of your cells, essentially, learning new things is harder. Like, that's not part of my life identity up to this point.
Well.
And the thing is, like I said, like, some of it may be my imagination or whatever, but the reality is it's going to be real.
Yeah, right.
And that's terrifying. Nobody ever talks about that one. They talk about getting weaker and stuff like that, and but, like, never. No, you just want to, like, pick up a new hobby. It's going to be harder, even if it's not a physically demanding one. It's going to be harder than if you were young.
Yeah.
When I play a video game now, I don't tend to play ones that are a lot of hand-eye coordination. But there are ones I'm like, oh, no, I played the earlier one of this. Surely I can play it now. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, to remember stuff, yeah.
The rate of it might not be super fast. You might not even notice that much unless you're really thinking about it like you are now.
Yeah. So I will notice because I am, because I did.
You might forget.
Time travel's funny that way. That's part of the mantra now. You've heard me talk before about it, like two things that anybody can do but should require a test and a license: breeding and making stories about time travel. And that's how I talk about it now. We were talking about somebody doing something stupid with their kids, and I was like, I always say, but I had to mention in what I always say that it includes telling stories about time travel, because that is also important.
And voting. Didn't you add voting? I thought you had.
No, I don't want to get into. I am for inclusive voting.
Okay.
Very much so. I don't want to be on the wrong side of that. But issue.
As a joke, I thought it was a joke.
No, I'm serious about the other one. Fuck around.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you a story though. Everyone's small enough.
Everyone should be able to vote, but not everyone should be able to procreate, is what you're
saying. Yes, or write stories, or make stories about time travel without a test. This story recently. I sent it to me. My brother-in-law and I like to trade Florida stories.
Okay.
Because we think it's hilarious, and it's fascinating. You know the phenomenon that, like, the weirdest shit happens in Florida.
Yeah, then there's this game you can play where you type into Google Florida man and your birthday.
Exactly, exactly.
And there's going to be something that a Florida man did on your birthday.
And there
that's
is
weird.
Some argument that some of it may have to do with the laws about making that stuff public in Florida. So it's not that more weird shit happens, but that it's more easily accessible. But there's some argument that that might not be accurate. Whatever. So we like to play this game. And sometimes, so we send each other articles about this kind of stuff. And he sent me one the other day that was, he's like, it's not in Florida, but it feels like it should be in Florida. And we do that every once in a while. And this one was a story about a mom with kids in an inflatable pool on the top of her car driving down the highway.
Heard about that one, yeah.
So I get this from the headline.
Sure.
In my head, it's a pickup. And there's an inflatable pool in the bed of the pickup. Said that.
But my headline said SUV, said SUV.
Oh, I don't. But don't spoil it. What? So I'm picturing this, and I'm like, illegal, probably not safe, whatever. And then I saw a picture.
I didn't see a picture.
I saw a picture.
Wow.
It might be an SUV. It looked like kind of like a sedan to me. It's just a car.
Okay.
With an inflatable pool tied with like a couple of ropes. To the top, to the roof, not the trunk or anything, the roof of the car.
And kids are in it.
Kids were not, kids were laying down in it when they were found because their mother said, lay down in it so it won't blow away while we transport it. And just to go back and remind the audience here, an inflatable pool. So, having to blow it up again was not worth our children's lives. That's the thing. People do stupid shit for a variety of circumstantial reasons, and you shouldn't. But this one, I'm like, deflate it? Put it in the car? Like, no.
You don't even have to deflate it all the way, really.
Enough to fit it in. Yeah. Like, but just so, oh my God. And I told him, I said, but I knew this wasn't a Florida story. Because in the Florida story, it's full of water and the kids are playing in it. It's like a mobile hot tub kind of situation. Yeah. That was.
The thing is, I get a lot of international news and it seems like the craziest things happen in Russia.
Well, yes. Yes, that is true.
I mean, just the craziest thing.
There is a reason why everyone in Russia has dash cams.
Yeah.
That is some fun, people. Go on YouTube and type in Russian dash cam footage.
Amazing.
So many things.
I can't believe it.
So, first of all, you'll see a meteorite hit the Earth.
There's that.
You will see a tank run over a lot of people. You will see a dude stopped on a motorcycle behind a van, and several costumed characters will get out and beat him up and then get back into the van. There's a lot of stuff. And the law is so fucked up about dealing with traffic accidents and things like that. Everybody has a dash cam, so they have proof of whatever the fuck happened.
Right.
It is insane. But Florida recently was the place where they pulled over a couple, and the woman had a 3-foot-long alligator in her yoga pants. Yoga pants.
That she wasn't wearing them.
No, she was wearing the ones on her.
What?
Yeah. Florida. Right there. Florida.
Come on. It's not really true that all the weird stuff happens there.
No, but some amazing weird shit happens there.
Like with Russia. Is it a chicken or the egg thing? Maybe if all Americans had dash cams, we'd see America.
And that's what I say. There's an argument that it's easier to get reports of this public in Florida, and that's why it comes up.
Yeah.
But then there's also some arguments that that's not quite how we think. But apparently the statistics say it's not particularly a thing. Although, then there also becomes a population issue. There's a lot of people in Florida. So per capita it might be the same or less as other places, but because, I mean, a lot of weird shit happens in Montana, too, but there's only, like, 6 people there, so there's only so much that can happen. Anyway, we should question things, hat stuff.
And it could be how the news works. Maybe stuff happens, like, in Iowa all the time, but no one thinks that's news to
say. I don't know how the news happens.
Iowa man picks his nose on TV or something.
The pool on the car was Illinois.
Stu wants to know.
What does Stu want to know? Famously non-goateed Stu.
What do you have planned for episode 500? Stu, and then it says, damn it, I forgot to sign my last question. So we must have... They must have said it was anonymous.
Been an anonymous one.
Or we did, or they did.
Stu is now officially in the... All his emails are default... signed.
Oh, okay.
The hat knows that if it gets an email from Stu, Stu. So the list of people who just automatically are considered never to be anonymous: Mark McKibben, who I'm not sure listens anymore, Craig, and Stu. Everyone else, if you don't sign it, it comes in anonymous.
Well, episode 500 is...
We don't know.
Well over a year away.
We don't know how far away it is.
We don't know.
What episode number is this?
I don't know.
Exactly. For all you know, this could be episode 499 or episode 502. And we're not doing it at a specific time, so you don't know that it's well over a year away.
Feels like it's well over a year away.
Oh, God, you're bad at this.
I'm just saying, last time I wrote on their blog was not that long ago. But you're right.
Yes, time, once that time episode aired, then we know what time that was.
Time does this move could different be, over there.
Yeah.
I was just going on when I commented on their blog last. Wasn't that long ago.
We don't know that.
Well, there's a, when I comment on their blog, there's their dates on there.
Yes, but when we record this, there is no time right now.
Yeah, that's right.
How is this new?
I'm one of those...
We've been doing this for an unspecified number of years.
I'm chronocentrist. I just project our time frame onto whatever they're doing, and I just...
I'm just saying we don't have a time frame.
No, we don't. Not relative to them, we don't.
No. So, but anyway, it's probably a ways off. But also,
or it was
no
last
plans.
Week. As
or
far
it
as
was
we
last
know.
Week.
Or this is episode 500.
Yes, our plans. In that case, actually, in the case of any of those, our plans are nothing.
Welcome to episode 500.
Good day, and welcome to episode 500. Five golden turks.
That would be funny if this was episode 500. It probably won't be.
Not funny, haha, though. No, shit happens to them too often. I don't know. Do you think they're going to plan something? They did something for 100, and then they've never done anything ever again.
I don't know.
Maybe it's base 10 entirely, and it's so it has to be episode 1,000, and then episode 10,000. These are the only times they do interesting things. At this point, I believe it's been established that Beth moved back to Iowa City. So theoretically, the 100 crew could get back together.
Oh. Where's Stu live?
Beth and Mark. Stu lives in Iowa City. Well, Coralville.
Maybe this is Stu's way of dropping a little hint.
Ah. It sounds like something Stu would do.
Get Stu on the show.
Stu. Stu. I should start calling him Stu. Stu. I mostly call him Breeder. So many things he does for his children that I'm like, stop.
What?
He like can't go see movies. He's like, no, we have to take him to soccer practice. And I'm like, you do not have to. Stop lying. The state does not require that. You have to keep them alive and fed and take them to school. And that is it. You are choosing to take them to soccer practice.
It's probably
Don't
good
try
for them.
And pretend.
It's probably the,
yes,
the loving
not,
thing to do.
It's not good for Stu or me.
It is good for Stu if it's good for his children.
No.
No?
No. And conservation of energy. Any energy spent on those kids is energy he is losing from himself, or, more importantly, that he could spend on me.
So, spending the energy on his kids, or spending the energy on you.
Or himself, but mostly me, yeah.
Or even himself. I'm pretty sure I know that's an easy choice to make.
I agree. And yet he consistently goes above and beyond for his children.
Well, he's not evil. What's evil? What does evil Stu do? Do you know? Do we know evil Stu?
Evil Stu might still be Welsh. I feel like that's a very... That's quite a pregnant statement. There's a lot.
I know. There's
a lot,
to unpack
in there. There's a lot in that statement. I'm not sure I feel good about that one.
It's both an answer and not an answer, but that's what makes
and
it funny.
And it just, it implies so many. Even evil Tony is like, that might be too much. But who knows? I can't remember if he... I mean, that's a Scottish thing, but he might like Iron Brew. They were talking about that on the blog. I've never had it, but I hear it's absolutely disgusting. Yeah. Because Stu lived in Scotland for a while, too.
Absolutely disgusting. Oh, did he?
Yeah. He lived in a variety of places in his life with very distinct accents, and he manages to have an accent that sounds nothing like them.
He doesn't sound Welsh?
Stu sounds English.
Oh, English.
Yes. He does not sound Scottish or Welsh. Supposedly, if he gets really tired, or if he drinks, or if he spends a lot of time with his parents, the Welsh sneaks back in.
I'm not sure I really recognize Welsh. I mean, I probably noticed this is a little different than, like, what
I... It takes time. I've got a pretty good sense of it now, over the years, but it took time, and as I think I have famously said before...
A Welsh accent, I mean.
The first time I heard a strong Welsh accent in person, it was a young boy traveling with his... Not, I say young boy... 14-year-old, I think,
sure.
Traveling with his mother, and I thought he had a developmental disability.
Can you say a few words?
I can't. It is very special.
You did once, or your other version.
yeah. Now, it is very special, which is funny because a lot of famous actors have a Welsh accent.
Yeah, it is distinctive. I mean, I know I've heard it many times, and I thought, that's different. What is that? And later on, someone...
There are certain... I feel like this is going to get me beat up by a lot of Welsh people, but I think linguistically I'm accurate here. There are a lot of aspects that are not dissimilar from an Irish accent.
Well, the...
But it definitely doesn't sound Irish.
There's still... I think the Welsh language is... one of the Celtic languages still, like,
right? Yeah.
So there's Gaelic and there's Welsh and there's Cornish too. And,
yes.
In Brittany,
and there's a couple different Gaelics.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if it had bore some similarities linguistically.
The Welsh language is hilarious.
You mean with like their long names of things?
And everything has like five L's and two or three Y's, and they're next to each other. So it's like why. When I was traveling and I was in a pub and they were like, where are you staying? And I was like, I'm not going to say it. I will spell it. And you can say it, but I refuse because I'm not going to pronounce it right.
Well, a lot of times...
Turned out it was St. David's. I could have gotten that.
If someone, you know... Says how do you?
Hilarious joke.
It says to a Welsh person, "How do you pronounce this?" However they pronounce it, it's not how you would pronounce it just by how it's spelled.
No. And this happens in a lot of Gaelic languages. Years and years and years ago, in college, we're reading some old Irish legend, and there's a king whose name looks like it's pronounced concubar, but it's like with a CH at the beginning. So I guess it would be like chonkubar, but we all thought it was concubar. It's pronounced Connor. And there's another one. I don't remember if it's Scottish or Irish or what, but there's one that's spelled Chalmondly, and it's pronounced Chumley or something else even like really, really simple. And a lot of ones that are just said different. When we would, like, there's a town called Cheswick, and it's spelled Cheswick. And so as Americans, we all thought it was Cheswick, but it's Cheswick. And if you look at Worcestershire sauce, Worcestershire is how you should actually say it. It is spelled Worcestershire.
Yeah.
The British Isles are full of a lot of extra letters.
Well, they probably weren't always extra letters, right? Some of them were probably pronounced at one time.
Well, and you
it's
do
like
get
Knight,
into weird
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Shit.
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah,
I mean, they might have pronounced the K or whatever. Or they did.
Eddie Izzard used to do a thing about it. So it's not always pronounced the same. Like, we pronounce how you would say herb. We say herb because there's a fucking H in it. And he's like, but I got to admit, we're both together on through. I have no idea how it's spelled that way. He's like, you never know which way. You're like, okay, T-H-R, all right, that's through. O, All right, that seems fine. And then we're going to have, and then a U. Well, okay, it was, all right. And then a G. Wait, what? And then H. Okay, now you're just fucking with me. Yeah, the English language is the worst language anywhere. So.
You think so?
Well, to learn, apparently it is. Because it's just like 90% edge cases. Like all of the rules of the English language have a giant 12-page footnote with each rule that's like, except in this case, this case, this case, this case. And sometimes they're sub-rules, except when this happens.
You mean for
but
writing
but sometimes it's also just like, except in this word. Writing.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah. So it can be really hard to pick up that way.
For speaking, we've got that weird R.
Yeah.
That even native speakers have a hard time learning. That always amazes me. It's like, well, how does this keep going then? You'd think some kids would go, heck with it, I'm just not going to pronounce these R's, and then they'd go away. But nope, we still have them.
Well, and we have weird grammatical things and stuff. Himself. Makes no sense. And the improper way to say it is hisself.
Mm-hmm.
And you get people say, oh, if you're, you know, kids today, they say hisself. Makes so much more sense. If you look at her, herself, it, itself.
Her and his. So hisself.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember when I was growing up, though.
It's and itself.
And yeah. When I was in elementary school, there were very specific things that the English books would go out of their way to say, this isn't how you say this. Indicating that somewhere in the United States, it wasn't where I lived, someone had a problem with this.
Yep.
Particular, and yep. His self was one of those things. They hammered on it like they thought that all the kids were going to come to school saying that. And I never heard anybody say that where I was from. But apparently these textbooks were meant for a large enough geographical area that somewhere kids were coming to school saying this, and the people who wrote the textbooks felt like they had to have a special unit just for that. But I never heard anyone say that. Hisself.
One of the most brilliant things, out of many brilliant things, that Futurama did was their first ever Christmas episode. And so when you find out that Christmas is now this terrifying thing because somebody built a robot Santa who was going to give people gifts, and then something happened in its programming, and now it thinks everyone is naughty and it tries to kill everyone on Earth on Christmas Eve. And so everybody hides in like bunkers and things like this. But it comes up because Fry is talking about Christmas, and they're like, what's Christmas? And he tries to explain, and they're like, oh, you mean Xmas. That must be an archaic pronunciation, like how you say ask instead of axe. Which is a great joke, and is the thing, because axe is a colloquialism that I think is frequently tied to urban environments and back when they tried to quantify ebonics or whatever. But what is... That's not genius. It's an interesting joke. And it comes up like a minute later in it. And then for the entire run of Futurama, every time the word ask, that joke stays through the entire show.
Huh.
They always say axe. Can I ask you something? Like throughout the thing. And they don't like reference the original or anything. They just maintained that canon the entire time. And every time I heard it, I was like, yep, that's what you said happened. And so little of that show did that. So much of that show contradicted itself
all the time. Yeah.
But I loved that.
You know,
I don't. You haven't said yet.
I was reading the comments of the show here, as I sometimes do. I know it's ridiculous, but they were talking about Christmas and seasons and stuff.
You mean Xmas?
And I realized.
What do you want to ask me?
There was a question once about what holiday would you have in the summer that's like Christmas?
Was that our question or their question?
Someone asked them that.
Them, okay.
And they had a dumb answer. But then I'm thinking, it's probably like here, I realized there already is a midsummer season, just like there's a midwinter season when you think about it. And it's like 4th of July is kind of like the sort of the punctuation of midwinter season, just like New Year's is kind of the midwinter season. And
but 4th of July is very American-centric.
That's true.
And I'm proud of you for doing that.
But what I'm saying is, you've got, around the summer solstice, you've got people getting together for reunions. That happens, at least in America. You've got...
cookouts. Lots of cookouts.
Yeah, lots of cookouts. So there's a food element to it, just like there is around Christmas.
Weddings.
And you've got people making a big deal about the weather.
Mm.
Like the weather is a central thing. There's special music for Christmas time. But there are, for probably every Christmas or winter song, there's probably 10 songs about the summer. Let's be honest. There's lots of summer songs.
I can only think of that Will Smith one.
There's lots of them.
I loved that song. That song came out at the height of my Will Smith fandom.
A lot of summer is focused around water, just like winter is focused around snow. Really, I realized that midsummer season and midwinter season are the same in every respect, except for two things. There's the season inversion, obviously, but one other thing. Summer doesn't have a day or a spokesperson like Santa Claus, and I realized why. Because one other thing that the summer season and the winter season have in common is there's a particular class of people that make a ton of money during that period of time. In fact, some of the people who make money in the summer, that's the only time they have to work, is like for 2 months in the summer, and they make a ton of money. Well, the people who make all that money in the summer, they don't need a day or a spokesperson. They just go where the people are going, because people are out going places.
Yes.
But in the winter, you've got to get people to come out of their houses.
That is true.
So those people who make money in the winter need to advertise. They need Christmas. They need Santa Claus. And as a matter of fact, in the United States, most people, and this is true for my family, celebrate Christmas and Santa Claus and all that the way they do because of things they read in magazines in the middle of the 19th century, not because they came from cultures that celebrated it that way.
Yep.
So really, summertime and wintertime, or midsummertime and midwintertime are very much the same. The difference with having Christmas and Santa Claus in winter is because the people who make money in Christmas need those things to make money.
Yep.
The people in the summer, they don't need that. They just go to the lakes. They go to the celebrations and set up a carnival, and they make a ton of money, and then they don't have to work the rest of the year.
Gifts are a Christmas thing, too. That's part of it, is you say you have to buy something, because otherwise you wouldn't have to buy anything.
That's true.
Whereas in the summer, you're buying all sorts of accoutrements or passes, experience things. You're buying tickets to things.
Yep.
You don't buy a lot of tickets to things at Christmas. You buy stuff at Christmas.
Well, I mean, look at your family. You guys give gifts at Christmas. That's true.
Yeah.
But in the summertime, someone pays for you all to go on a trip to Disney World or whatever.
Yep.
Similar.
I mean, it happened in January, but yeah.
Well, you get the idea.
I do.
Most people do it in the summer.
Yes. In fact, no, I can't say that. We don't know when it is right now.
But, so yeah, it's. I realized we don't have to come up with anything. They're already pretty much the same. And
we
the
don't
summer,
have to have a midsummer spokes creature.
And the summer doesn't.
To have a good time.
They don't need a day.
Oh, no.
Or a Santa Claus, because everyone's already outside doing things and spending money.
We could spend our money on water parks. And drink some Slurpee time.
Yeah, water parks, snow skiing. There's even a water activity in both, but one's snow and one's
water. We don't have to have a Santa Claus in the summertime. Oh, no. We could dress up Ezzy in board shorts, and she could sell some merch.
You think she'd sell merch?
No, she won't do anything. She refuses to do stuff, don't you, baby girl?
Well, probably because we kept promising to send her to the Denver airport, and we never did it.
Yeah, we were going to sell you because you used to be such a little pain. Now you're way less of a pain. You're still kind of a pain, but less of a pain.
I don't understand. She jumps up on your lap, but then when you start paying attention to her, she's like, she wants to get down.
I don't do it right.
You're supposed to What are you, you're supposed to do something a special way?
I should let her pick any position she wants.
Oh, and then?
And then I should be petting specific parts of her in specific ways. Attempting to manipulate her position, breaking the rules.
And so then it's like, all right, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
She doesn't put up with anything.
No. To be fair, everything you've just described is just her being a cat.
Oh.
They all do that.
Should we draw another thing?
Yeah, we need to draw another thing. We don't have to draw another thing. Yes, we do. All right, this is from Craig. He signed it.
Oh.
Or did he?
I don't know.
If you have watched it, did you enjoy the She-Ra cartoon reboot?
I think...
I have not watched it, and yes, I did. I'm such a rebel. I haven't watched it. You have.
Yes. And I think I think the other guy talked about it.
Yeah, I feel like it has come up before.
But I also liked it very much. The quote-unquote second season was... I say quote because it was like just a
part
few weeks after
two
the first.
Yeah,
it was kind of...
$8.
They call it a second season, but it was almost a part two of the first season. Was not quite as good. It feels like the first season was really well planned out and it was pretty awesome. And then this, it feels like the second season was like, oh my gosh, they're giving us a second season. Oh my gosh, we have to have it ready in a month.
Yeah.
So they kind of... It wasn't bad, but it was just, okay, that's good. I'm kind of more looking forward to... what they have to do in the future. But I like it. My wife loves it. Sometimes in the morning when she's getting ready and I've already started writing and stuff, I'll on YouTube you can find a version of the full theme song. It's not what you hear when you watch the show. It's the full theme song.
Yeah.
And she loves hearing that in the morning. And we'll listen to that. So yeah, we really liked it. The other guy described it was... No, I don't remember how he described it.
There was something involving Disney princesses.
Yeah, and it was like it was a cross between Disney princesses and Steven's universe or something like that. Because there's some very progressive aspects to it.
Yeah.
But it's not I don't know. It's not terribly sophisticated in it, but it's also I don't know how to describe it. It seems like Steven's universe is very, like...
I think it's Steven universe. I don't
know. Oh, Steven. Sorry. Yes, you're right. It is Steven universe.
Too possessive of
the stuff they do is really, to me, it's very smart. It's very slick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the way She-Ra does it, it's just there. I mean, that's not really a thing. It's just sort of... It's just mixed in, you know.
Yeah.
And it still feels mostly like you're watching a Disney-like thing, but every once in a while there's just this little bit of a, I don't know what to call it. I was almost ready to call it an edge, but that's not an edge. It's a tone or a note, I guess.
A nub.
I don't know. Like if I don't know when people drink wine and they talk about it having a taste like this, but there's a hint of something. What do they call that? Don't they call that notes? Like notes in the flavor of the wine?
Yeah.
It's like that. You just sense that this is something different and it's really cool and I really like it.
My favorite current kids show like that is, it's really retro in that, remember when we had the phase that we were doing original things and then like a junior version like Muppet Babies or whatever.
Right.
They're doing one now that is Streetcar Named Desire Babies. And so it's like little Stanley and little Blanche. Exactly. And they've done a lot of merch, and as you can see, we got baby Stella.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
Earlier there, yeah. We're into baby Streetcar Named Desire Babies. You know, a very early season Simpsons did a musical version of Streetcar Named Desire?
No.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
It's called Oh, Streetcar.
Oh, Streetcar.
And, and Marge played Blanche, and, Flanders played Stanley. And basically the whole thing was Marge processing issues she had with Homer through the play. But yeah, it was a musical version, and the opening overture was the whole company singing a song called New Orleans that has New Orleans, town of gypsies, tramps, and whores, New Orleans, home of overpriced souvenir stores, it was pretty fucking hilarious.
You know, now that they do have She-Ra, and I like it so much, and I think they've done such a great job of it.
She-Ra,
I'm serious about this. I'm burning with curiosity as to how the people who are running this show, and maybe in cooperation with other creators, would incorporate He-Man into the whole thing.
Supposedly a He-Man reboot is coming, although it might be a live-action film
reboot. It's not related to this.
Yeah.
But I like what they've done so much. It's like, well, what would you do? I mean, how would you do that? You know, He-Man was sort of after... You know, you were a He-Man fan.
I was a huge He-Man fan.
As you've said. And it was after my
Fabulous
time.
Fabulous powers were revealed to me. The day I held aloft my magic sword. God, that show was gay. I don't know how I didn't notice this at the time. That show was so gay.
Well, see, the thing is, the people who were running She-Ra had felt the same way about She-Ra and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so they sort of embrace all of that queer stuff in She-Ra. But like I said, not in a... It's just there. It's not...
Yeah, it's not a overt thing. That's not the point of the show.
No, it's just there, yeah. And it seems like it fits there, and it's not a big issue. But it's like, so I don't really know. I don't know anything about the original She-Ra at all, and I don't really know anything about He-Man either. But given that they've done this, and I like it, and my wife likes it, I kind of wonder what He-Man would be like made kind of in this same world, in this same vein.
She-Ra was, in my opinion, He-Man in different outfits. Like,
well, yeah, that's what people say.
It was beat for beat the same show, just a little girly. But only a little bit, really. I know it was the same show.
With the rainbow horse and the...
That was the thing. It was a pretty horse instead of Battle Cat, and like the sidekicks were a little different, and there were things that had flowers sometimes.
I think you might like She-Ra.
I like She-Ra, the original She-Ra also.
Well, it's
because I like the original He-Man.
But it's very different, though, too. So would that make you not like it, maybe?
Not necessarily. I liked the reboot of Thundercats quite a bit. I mostly am really disappointed that show never went beyond a first season, because they eventually built in some really cool mythology. And the original Thundercats has some really cool mythology. This was very different, equally cool mythology that we had just started to break into, and then it was canceled. But no, I like that kind of stuff.
I think you should watch it. I think you'll like it. Maybe when you go to the gym. I mean, what are you watching when you go to the gym now?
Right now I'm doing Community.
See, this is perfect.
That's going to take a long time.
These are 20-minute things.
Yeah. Then probably on the docket is Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but it might be good to break it up with something else. So.
I don't know if you'd like it. I'm curious to know if you'd like it.
I imagine I would. I don't know if Trish wants to watch it either.
One day, my wife and I, we were thinking about what to watch, and we just said, let's start watching this again.
She-Ra.
Like, from the beginning, to see if we still liked it. And it was like, yeah, this is awesome. We just let it run while we were doing other things. It was so good. We really liked it, so. But, yeah, I don't know if you'd like it or not.
I think I'm going to try Umbrella Academy.
I mean, we watched it, and it was okay.
Trish watched it. That's the thing. Everybody in the world is like, they watched it, and they're like, you know what? It's fine. And I was like, I'm not going to spend time on fine. But Trish has really pushed it. Like, she's like, I think you would like it. I think you should watch it. And the more and more I see things, which comes up a lot, because people cosplay as it. And so I watch these cosplay videos, and I see, like, I think there's a really... There's sort of a bizarre streak in it that might appeal specifically to me.
Oh, okay.
So I keep thinking I might check it out for that.
Well, I think when I say it was all right, what I mean is it seems like it's one of those things where you can watch it and go, so why did somebody make this? I mean, it's like...
Well, I think it is based off a comic.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not saying anything, really, right, that hasn't been said before when someone made a thrown-together superhero team or whatever. You know, there's a little bit of a Watchmen vibe. There's a little bit of a this and that vibe. It's like, yeah, we've seen this all before. I don't know why. Why are we doing this?
It's the Nebula Awards, I think, for science fiction.
Well, it's one of them, I think, yeah.
Has had an issue in recent years because a certain contingent of individuals, led by two in particular white men, decided that the whole thing was too skewed in favor of people with forced diversity issues and big message and big political statements, and just having a good sci-fi story couldn't win you anymore, and that wasn't fair.
I didn't know those two things were different.
They're not necessarily, but they can be.
Okay.
And they ended up using some weird bylaws and things to basically disqualify a lot of people so that they could put their people as more likely candidates, and it kind of fucked things up for a little while. I hope it's been resolved. I don't know. It was really annoying. But
did they mean that people who were making material that didn't have a lot of merit were just getting awards because they were so courageous and addressing some issue?
I think they were saying that merit, like literary merit, was not the only consideration. You also had to be having some important message and just like a good adventure story.
Okay.
That's well written and entertaining. Couldn't win anymore. Now the thing is, and this is probably why it matters if it's Hugo or Nebula, it's whatever the one that has an actual popular vote is. And so I'm like,
yeah, I don't know which one of those is.
I don't know if this is true or not, but if it is, it doesn't matter. Like if that's what the people vote for, that's what the people vote for. But, I bring this up. I don't remember the true asshole. There was another asshole, the main asshole. The secondary asshole was not as bad, except that he kept connecting himself with this guy, and his name is Larry Correa, and he's been around forever. He writes a ton of books, and he's probably most famous for a series called Monster Hunter International, and it's a present-day story of basically this. It's like a Men in Black thing, but it's less sci-fi and more just there's this group of badass fighters who exterminate monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And like lots of guns and stuff like that. And it's very butch thing, but I read some of it and it's very entertaining. And it's there, like we have a character who joins the organization and things happen, and I think there were vampires, I don't remember, something like that. And it's entertaining, it's got great mythology. Absolutely no message involved at all.
Right.
Where was I going with this? What started this whole thing?
Well, you were talking about how they were trying to
get... No, but before then, what were you talking about right before this?
I don't know.
Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
My point is, although I don't agree at all with what any of these people were doing.
Yeah.
I do think you can have a good story that's not saying anything new or saying anything...
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can.
...original,
yeah,
and it
right.
can be very... entertaining.
Yes, that's right. Which,
and it is uncommon nowadays, and you have your work cut out for you that way, because if you don't have a message, people can't focus on that message. They're just going to look at your abilities.
Well, it gets back to, I have often said this, that it's not a problem to tell the same story over and over. You hear people say, oh, people are tired of this, that, or the other story. I think that's bogus. We've been telling the same stories forever.
Yeah.
It's the craft. If you don't craft it well, people aren't going to like it. Don't blame the fact that you've been telling the same story for 1,000 years.
Well,
people love hearing
the
same
story
for 1,000 years.
It puts more effort on the craft.
Sure,
if
exactly.
You can't do that. If you didn't give me a new... I need a reason why I consumed your media.
Well, right. And,
the reason can very often be, it made me think about things in a new way, or it made me think about...
And that's the thing about Umbrella Academy is, again, it's not so much that it's a story we've seen before, because as I just said, if you craft it well, that doesn't matter. But that's the point. It wasn't crafted. I mean, it was fine, but it's like,
it was just like the other ones you've seen, minus any new message.
Yeah, or any twist that would make it interesting.
Yeah.
Or, and of course it was made for a television format. So a lot of times the craft that they put in a thing like this is better action scenes or some set piece that's really going to wow you. Well, they didn't have that. So it was just the same thing that you've seen a thousand times before, without some extra craft bit to really
catch. And that's the thing. As I understand the basic premise, it is a story that I'm tired of. And maybe a story I wasn't even that into to begin with. So,
but the difference is you might connect with certain characters more.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
Certain details of mythology and certain character setup.
That's right.
And that, I've just been getting little hints that I might.
Yeah, you might.
And that's why I'm thinking I'm going to check
it out. I can see that. I can see that.
I do that sometime. Did you ever see a movie? I'm sure you didn't see a movie. Wait, that came out wrong. I'm pretty sure you never saw this movie.
Okay.
It's called Virtuosity.
I have seen that movie.
You have seen that movie.
But I don't remember.
It's not a complicated movie.
I just know I've seen it.
We're in the future, the near future.
Yeah.
And Denzel Washington is a cop.
Yes.
And he lost his family to a bad guy at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile,
this sounds like every movie.
Exactly. It really is. Meanwhile, somebody's been making these breakthrough new AI and virtual reality things, and they created this character that you eventually find out was programmed by using the brain patterns of a bunch of history's worst people to make one like uber villain. And we eventually find out that the most dominant personality in it is the dude who killed Denzel Washington's family. And he's played by Russell Crowe.
Right, that's right.
And his name is Sid 4.0 or something like that.
That's why I've seen it, because there's a virtual... You know.
It also has a really good soundtrack. I own the soundtrack for many years and listened to it a lot.
Oh, I never really thought about that.
It's not a great movie.
No,
and
it's not.
The character, the villain, is not that unique in general. And I think especially since then, it's not that unique. But it was the thing that stood out the most. Russell Crowe's performance stood out the most. And something about it resonated with me.
Hmm.
Something about that villain hit things in me. Probably similar to how, like, the Joker hits things in you. There was something about him that was compelling. Not admirable or anything, but that there was a fat... His particular type of villainy, psychopathy, etc., was intriguing to me.
Right, I get
he was my... Like, some people respond to, like, to various, like, genius serial killer character, Hannibal Lecter and things like that. That one hit it for me. And so that movie has always been significant to me for that. It's not a great movie at all, but that always like stuck in my head.
I'm surprised we've never talked about that movie before.
I don't bring it up because there's not a lot to say about it.
Yeah.
But
well, there's that. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
That gives me insight into you.
My evil mind.
No,
this is an evil episode, so it is literally
That was a good comparison you drew between how I sometimes think of the Joker as a foil and as a villain in Batman.
Well, and the Joker is the new hotness right now, and I am just now really hitting Joker fatigue, so that complicates things.
Well,
I'm like nobody. I'm tired of the Joker. We have expressed him in all the ways we can, in my opinion. I am done.
I think as a Batman fan, I can say that. You know, there was a time where Joker was not a standout villain. I mean, every villain had their... In fact, if you appreciate Batman as the world's greatest detective or whatever, as DC's Sherlock Holmes, then his Moriarty would probably have been Riddler in a lot of really good stories, and not Joker at all. But I appreciated Joker for a long time before he kind of became the thing. I think Jack Nicholson really, you know, put, because when when he was in the Adam West Batman, what's his name played him? What's his name? The guy that played
Caesar
Romero, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just one of many, you know. He was,
and he
Joker.
Wouldn't even shave his mustache.
People liked all of the bad guys in that.
And they were all pretty much the same except for their quirks.
Yeah, right.
They had fun mannerisms.
But when Jack Nicholson played him, he became the arch nemesis of Batman in a way that I don't think even in the comics he was
and
before.
And at the time, that was a villain we hadn't seen before.
Right.
We have seen 1,000 versions of that. Right, right. Not necessarily Joker, but in other things. Like, that villain is now a stereotype. But it wasn't in 89.
I think actors like the Joker because it's he is probably the Batman character on either side, the good side or the bad side. The one that lets you chew the scenery the most.
And Hamill did amazing things with him. John, what's his name? The voice actor who did a lot of stuff after Hamill. He's the guy who does Bender. He's the guy who did... it's not DiMaggio, but it is DiMaggio.
It's DiMaggio.
Yeah, John DiMaggio. His version of Joker I found very interesting because that was
His version of Aquaman is great.
but his Joker was in some ways darker and less insane than Hamill's. And Hamill's was very crazy in a way that was terrifying. And, of course, and Heath Ledger's was a whole new thing.
And hilarious.
Yes. But all four of those stand out unique versions of that character.
Yeah.
And this says nothing about the comics, which had all sorts of stuff.
Oh, every kind of Joker you can imagine.
I'm done. Nothing about fucking Joaquin Phoenix strikes me as anything other than half the characters in any Rob Zombie movie.
That might be true.
Oh, he's a person. Oh, he becomes crazy and violent. There's clown makeup involved. Like,
there's clown makeup involved.
I'm like, I don't fucking care anymore. We have had four in multiple different, like, in animation and live, we've had four distinct, fascinating versions.
And Mark
and
Hamill.
A lot of other versions that are worth talking about.
And I would argue that Mark Hamill has played maybe three or four versions of the Joker.
I would give that. Well, yeah, especially because when you and when you vary your time, the Return of the Joker, Batman Beyond movie still gives me chills to this day.
Really good.
Love that movie.
Really good. And slightly different from just the animated series Joker.
Yes.
And the Batman video game Joker, different.
Yes.
So he's really done some great things with that character. Even though the Batman character is voiced by the same guy and is the same character all the time.
I'm just done with it. I'm just done.
I understand.
But anyway, that was a tangent. But also, we're over time and done. So go away because we don't like doing this and we don't want to talk to you anymore. But you can listen to those other guys next week if you want. We don't care. Just get out.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.